Let me take you to that story in Exodus, Exodus chapter 16, about this great God who provides what people need. Not always what they think they need, but he always gives them what they really need. Exodus chapter 16. I suspect that lady went to that camp thinking she was there just to help that guy, and God had other ideas. So Exodus 16. And this is quite a well-known story that you've probably heard before. It reminds us of God's provision. Exodus 16, verse 1. And the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. And that's a place, not a metaphor. Between Elim and Mount Sinai. And they arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. Thereto the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. They're a bit melodramatic, aren't they? They moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. And the Lord says to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow me in my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. Jump up to verse 13 of chapter 6. Verse 13. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. And when the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Let's remind ourselves of that video clip again. Let's just remind ourselves of some of these great names that we've been looking at as we've been starting this series. Let's just look at this.
Nature never changes. He is and he will always be. He is who he is. That's what his name Jehovah even means. I am. Yahweh means he is. He's God.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is.
He is.
He is. He is.
He is.
Jesus.
He is Elohim, God, Judge, Creator.
Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah.
El Elyon, the Most High God.
Adonai, Lord, Master.
El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty.
El Olam, the everlasting God, the God of eternity, the God of the universe, the God of ancient days.
He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide.
He is the Shiloh, the peacemaker.
Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle.
He is Kenah, jealous.
He is Jehovah Emkadosh, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes holy.
He is a star.
A scepter out of Israel.
The accursed of God.
The captain of the host of the Lord.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace.
Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of powers.
The rock of my salvation.
My salvation.
He is the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds.
He is the day's man.
The interpreter.
My rock and my redeemer.
He is crowned, the crown of pure gold.
The most blessed forever.
Forever. Forever.
He
And he's a generous God. Our God is a generous God. It's sort of embarrassing even have to say such an obvious thing, isn't it? That God is generous. But he is. His nature is to give. It's how the universe came into creation. God created not because he had to, but because he is a giving God. He creates life. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who provides for you and me. Saying God is a provider is a bit like saying Billy Graham was quite good at evangelism. Or that John Grisham writes some fairly reasonable thrillers. Or Gillingham can play football. You know, it's sort of obvious, isn't it? Well, pardon the last one. It's fairly obvious, isn't it? That's who God is. That's what he is. Throughout Scripture, you read that God is your provider, that God provided for his people. When David, remember we did a series on David, David was hiding in a cave. Saul was after his head, quite literally. And he's completely alone. And we read this, listen to this, in 1 Samuel 22. I cry to you, this is from the Psalms, I cry to you, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge, this is God providing, I need you to provide this, you are my portion in the land of the living, and pretty soon Jehovah Jireh provided David with 400 men to start a new life and to start this band to protect him and keep him safe during this time of exile. The Apostle John could say about God, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us. And he said that out of a sense of God being giving, a giving God. When people receive a lavish gift, they're often moved, aren't they? But when people discover an unstinting, abundant giving God, they fall on their knees and they worship. And that's what he says in Ephesians. Now, all praise to God for his wonderful kindness. When you discover that's who God is, you start worshiping him for who he is and what he does for you. Paul experienced that provision in his life. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And God's provision is continuous. That's important to know, because a lot of things in this life aren't continuous. They're just not. But God is. Lamentations, look at this. This is what it says. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They never stop. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Israel was reminded of that every day for 40 years. They were reminded of that fact. They would wake up and God's continuous provision gave them breakfast every day, every morning, and it gave them supper every evening. I mean, you book your holidays recently. Have you booked in, you know, bed and breakfast or bed, breakfast and evening? That was what God provided for them for 40 years. Bed, breakfast and evening meal. 40 years. God's generosity is not like the sunset, brilliant but fading. It keeps coming. It is as powerful tomorrow as it was yesterday, as it will be today. It is constant, never ending. The faithfulness of God. One of the difficult things about living on this planet, you may have discovered, is that many things start out well and are wonderful, but they fade. They just fade. They might be wonderful for a time, but at the back of your mind, there's always this twinge. It's not going to last, is it? You feel like that? It's a bit depressing thought, isn't it? But that's the truth of life, different stages of life. I don't know about you, but when I go on holiday, I love holidays, and especially if it's a special holiday. We got a special one this year for our 25th anniversary and various birthdays coming up. And one of the problems with holidays, I find, do you ever find this, or is it just me? Do you go away on holiday, and towards the end of the holiday, you're starting to count it down? You ever done that? I do that. I'm terrible at that. I think, oh no, I've only got... I sort of ruined the last couple of days of my holiday, because I'm worried about the holiday ending. And it's a bit annoying, but I have this nasty habit, especially if it's one of those holidays that is a bit memorable and really means something to you. Some things just don't last on this planet, do they? We could talk about weddings. I mean, how much effort and energy is put into by people to prepare for this one 24-hour period in their life? It's 24 hours, and they, you know, we spend tons of time and energy and money at it, And realistically, that day is just 24 hours. That lasts one day, and it's gone. That one day. 24 hours, and it's a memory. It's a book of photographs. The kids and the parents get all excited, and I always used to get excited. This is my worst one, about stuff not lasting. And this was the one I always hated, not lasting, because I would look forward as a kid to Christmas and a tearing into those prezzies. And I got so excited about it. I looked forward to it for months beforehand. And by 3 o'clock, it's the Queen's speech and it's all over, isn't it? And it's like, oh, what? And you have to wait another 12 blooming months before it happens again. And it just doesn't last. It just doesn't last. So we're used to that, aren't we? We're used to the fact, the reality, that stuff in this world doesn't last. Here's the good news. With God, that's not true. He keeps going. He never ends. He just continues. 10,000 years after the celebration starts, we will still be saying how wonderful and generous our God is. And it will be true. It will not end. He is Jehovah Jireh, and his provision is eternal. Eternal. No beginning and no end. Now we believe, don't we, Jehovah Jireh provides for our eternal future. But here's the question. Do you believe he provides for you today? Because it's a lot easier thinking, well, in that day it's all going to be all right, it'll all be sorted. But today, I'm on my own. I better sort this out. Can I trust him today, not just tomorrow? And we tend to look a lot like Israel, I think, in this regard, with regard to trusting him for our daily needs. We look at the outward circumstances of our life, don't we, and we get a little bit worried. It's natural, it's human. Jesus had a few things to say about that. They were a month into the journey and things were starting to look a bit interesting. They're looking a bit old Mother Hubbard in the larder, because all the food that they've been given and the gifts that they've been given as they left Egypt, as Freddie reminded us, were starting to run down a little bit. The larder was looking bare. And at that point, guess what they enter? They enter a desert. So you're running out of food and supplies and you enter a desert. This doesn't feel good. Moses does a stock take and he's looking worried. He's looking worried. 3 million people. That's 1,500 tons of food a day. For that number of people. 1,500 tons of food a day. Just to keep them alive. That's got to be impossible, right? And even when God's promises were there to provide for them all, Moses isn't convinced. Listen to what he says. This is what Moses feels and what we feel. Oh, God will have it in the future. But today, what about today? Here's Moses' reaction. Moses said, "Here I am among 600,000 men on foot. And you say, God, I'll give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?" And Moses is starting to worry. You can sense he's a little concerned. We look at the scale of our needs sometimes and we say to ourselves, "This isn't going to happen. I'm in trouble." We look at a broken relationship and we say, "There's no way. There's no way. There's going to be provision for that." We look at the credit page and wish it was as long as the debit page, which always seems longer, doesn't it? And we think, "I'm not going to survive this financial month." We look at the job that needs doing and the time we've got to do it and the resources we've got to work with. And we think, "You've got to be joking. It's not going to happen." We look at the calling that God has and he says, "I want you to do this." And we say, "But the resources aren't there, God. I can't do that." Do you know what Jehovah Jireh says to all that when we respond like Moses? Do you know what he says? This is what he says. The Lord said to Moses, "Has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true. Test me in this. Too often in the service of God, we lean on our own understanding. We forget what God has told us. It's a very obvious passage that you know so well, but it applies to how God provides for us in life. And we need to remember that proverb, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean on your own understanding, whether you think it's possible or not. In all your ways, you acknowledge him. You put him first, and he will make your path straight. He will sort it out. You trust him. You trust him. There was an article reported on 20 pilots who decided to take their instrument training. And these were guys who were used to flying single prop sort of aircraft, you know, the small aircraft. And they were used to flying by sight. And they were as good as anybody at it. They were trained pilots. And each one was put in a flight simulator, instructed what to do whenever they took the plane, particularly into thick cloud, dense cloud or fog. And they instructed them what to do in stormy weather. The article stated that all 20 pilots, all 20 experienced single prop private pilots, managed to crash and kill themselves within an average of 178 seconds. That inspires you, doesn't it, really, with pilots? Never get into a single prop aircraft with a pilot. But the reason, you know what they did wrong? They were used to flying, looking out the window, trusting their own eyeballs. They didn't use their instruments. They didn't focus on the instruments and trust what they were telling them. Some of them found themselves flying upside down. They didn't even know they were upside down. And that is possible if you're flying one of these vehicles. You can be flying upside down and not know you're upside down. I expect your head gets a bit flushed after a while. But they did that. And they just didn't look at their instruments. They didn't know what they were doing. Proverbs 3 reminds us, when you're working for Jehovah Jireh, he is the point of reference. You keep your eyes fixed on him. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Look at him. Not you. Moses and Israel learned that. It took them 40 years, and then they kept forgetting it later on as well. But they started to learn that in that wilderness. They woke up in the morning, and this funny white stuff appeared. Funny white stuff all over the ground. The Israelites looks at each other and they said, what is it? Now, here's the interesting thing. In that language, in the Hebrew language, that is the phrase manu. Manu. And the name stuck. And from there on, they were eating what's it? That's literally what they were eating. What's it? That's what it was called. That's what they gave it the name. That's the name that stuck. They were 8 watsits for 40. That's a bad diet. Lucky the kids have gone out. But they were eating watsits for 40 years. Fantastic. There you go. And the phrase stuck. Each day they had exactly what they needed. It was there. And that was just breakfast. If breakfast didn't convince them, God is your provider. Well, let's take supper as well. And there's a quail. There's one of them. They look quite. There was a picture I found of two quail in a frying pan, but I thought I won't. Yeah. They looked really tasty, actually. It was sort of done in butter, and ooh, it looked really nice. I was getting quite peckish. So yeah, it's the sort of stuff you get in high-end restaurants, isn't it? When was the last time you ate quail? What? Are you serious? You had quail 2 weeks ago. Do you? Little plug there. Butcher at, where was it?
Outward.
There you go. If you want some quail, get yourself down there. Have a little biblical meal like Derek. Very good. Were they nice?
Oh, they are.
Are they lovely? Yeah, they're quite small, aren't they? But
yeah, you only need one. Because they're half hour if you're
you only need one?
Yeah.
You sure? Oh, okay. Right. Let's not talk about portions. Okay. So there's your quail. Fantastic. Supper every day, and that's what it was. Amazing. The Lord drove quail in from the sea. He brought them down all around the camp. It's about 3 feet above the ground. As far as they could see, for about 3 miles, there were quail around them. And they just got out and picked them up. Amazing. He did that. Numbers 11. What surprised me is that Israel should already have known at this point that God provides, shouldn't they? Hadn't they had enough information already? before they start complaining about the food and the water and all that sort of stuff. Hadn't they already heard that God provides? The plagues, the blood on the doorpost that saved their firstborn, the plagues that got them out of slavery that God provided, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. God had been providing for them again and again and again. And yet they forgot. So he had to do it again. And here he did. Amazing. That is the problem, isn't it? Isn't that the problem that we have? We forget. We simply forget. Just say, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. May I never forget, because I do, the good things God always does for me. But we forget. And that's what they did. Psalm 78 says this: they forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them already, and they forgot. It's the most disturbing thing is how quickly they forgot. It was literally just weeks or days. They forgot. And it turned them into grumbling, faithless, thankless mob every single time. And you read the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you read it, and the constant sort of grumbling, moaning mob that they became over and over again. Wouldn't catch us doing that, would you? Wouldn't catch us moaning. But you know, we forget all the time. How would you feel if you got a little in tray tomorrow? If you go, let's say you have an office job and you go in and you get a little message from God. Here's a memo from God for tomorrow for you. I am God. Today I will be handling all of your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If life happens to deliver a situation that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in the SFGTD box, something for God to do box. It will be addressed in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed in the box, do not take it out again. If you find yourself stuck in traffic, don't despair. There are people in this world for whom driving is an unheard of privilege. I get so wound up in traffic, and do you? And you know what? The fact I'm sat in a car, I should be just praising God, not grumbling. Realistically. Should you have a bad day at work, think of the man who has not been out to work for years. Should you despair of a relationship gone bad, think of the person who's never known what it is to love and to be loved in return. Should you grieve the passing of another weekend, think of the woman in dire straits working 12 hours a day and 7 days a week to feed her children. Should you notice a grey hair in the bathroom mirror, think of the cancer patient in chemotherapy who wishes they had some hair. Should you find yourself at a loss and pondering what life is all about, and asking what's the purpose of it all, be thankful. There are those who don't live long enough to get that opportunity. And should you find yourself the victim of other people's bitterness, ignorance, smallness, or insecurities, remember it could be worse. You could be them. How easily we forget. And if we had a memo every day from God saying, don't forget. Don't forget. If we grasp that, we would never fall into grumbling, faithless mode, would we? How much more has God given to us? One minister I know writes a little acronym, a little few letters in the front of his Bible, and it's the Bible. It says SASSGHSELC. That's what he does. He can't pronounce it, but he writes those letters. It stands for salvation, adoption, sanctification, spiritual gifts, Holy Spirit, eternal life, and church. Because he needs to know every day, I have those things and they cannot be taken away from me. They are a gift from God. If God gave us nothing more than those things, would it be enough? Would it be enough for you? If we remembered all that God had done us, what a faithful, thankful people we would be all the time. We would be walking around with a smile on our face most of the time. And the real clincher is, even though it is more than we deserve to have those few things, he gives us abundantly more than that, and we all have more than that. Not only does he give us what we really need, he gives us more than we really need. Why? Because he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. That's who he is. And now that you know God is provider, what are you going to ask for? Because if God's a provider, that means you can ask him, can't you? What are you going to ask him for? That's the takeaway today. What would you ask him for? What do you want from God? Now, you do need to be a little bit careful here. You need to be a little bit careful here. The truth is, we don't always know what's good for us, do we? I know I don't. I don't always know what's good for me. And we ask for all the wrong things sometimes. Moses, the people in his day, asked for meat. Numbers chapter 11, they asked for meat. What should they have asked for? I wonder. Maybe if they've asked for a change of attitude, they would have got out of that desert 30 or 40 years earlier than they actually did. But they asked for meat. And I think a reality is that because they didn't ask God to change their hearts, they were stuck in that classroom in the desert for the next 40 years because they didn't learn the point. If they'd have changed their hearts, they'd have been out the next day. They wouldn't have had to ask for food and water every day. It would have been in the land that they were settling in. So be careful what you ask for. You may think it's a good idea, but it may actually keep you in that classroom yourself for a long time. Be careful what you wish for. Too often we chase after things that never really satisfy, don't we? That's the problem. I think we ask for stuff that really, a bit like, you know, the Christmas prezzies or the wedding day or, you know, any of these sort of things that don't last longer. And we want that moment to last forever, but we just ask for things that don't satisfy. We haven't learnt yet the nature of physical stuff. Physical stuff doesn't last and it doesn't satisfy long term. Reality check. That's a bit challenging for people who live in the Western world, in the UK. Physical stuff doesn't last and it won't satisfy you. I just need to tell you that as you go out and listen to another 30, 40, 50,000 adverts this week that tell you it does. It doesn't. Don't care what you buy this week, it will not satisfy you. Not in the ways that really matter. Isaiah said, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Why spend it on that?" What do we want from God? Just a bit more physical satisfaction? If that's all you want today, I need you to realize you will be hungry again tomorrow. The people of Israel were. That's all they wanted, and they were hungry again tomorrow. Why do we spend our time running after physical stuff when Jehovah Jireh says this? Do not worry about tomorrow. Saying, what shall we eat? Oh, what shall we drink? Oh, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of this other stuff will be given to you as well. Seek first. We run after what we doesn't satisfy, what is second best. Once upon a time, Jehovah Jireh fed 5,000 people on the banks of a lake in Israel. Jehovah Jireh fed them with barley loaves and fish. It was a miracle that reminded them of the great miracle back in Exodus 16, where God provided manna and quail, bread and meat for his people, miraculously. It reminded them of that day. And like Israel of old, that wasn't enough for the people on the banks that day. And some of them came straight back to Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, and they said, what other miracles will you do for us that we can believe in you? Because we're still peckish. Our grandfathers ate manna in the desert. What will you do for us, Jesus? Do you know what Jesus' response was in John 6? Jesus declared this. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Are you asking God, the great provider, for something that you will just need to ask him for again and again and again when he already knows you need it? Or are you asking God for what you really need? Are you coming to the one, the only one who can satisfy? Jesus says there is a hunger that is more important, a hunger for true life. And only Jesus has that in abundance. He is the way and he is the truth and he is the life. If you want satisfaction, there's one place you get it where you won't need to keep asking for it again. Those who've asked Jehovah Jireh for more than just a piece of bread and instead asked him for spiritual satisfaction, those who've had that request granted in their lives, those who wake up every morning thankful and remembering the generosity of their ever-giving God, these are the people who find themselves spontaneously opening their hands to others. Who find they too start to give and not to count the cost in their life. Who start to look like their own benefactor. Who start to look themselves like Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. These are the people. So what are you going to ask for God for? The stuff he already knows you need? Or what he really wants to give you? What he's desperate to give you? And are you going to remember? As you walk out this door in a week's time, are you going to remember the gifts of God on your life every day? And are you going to be a thankful person or a complaining person? To close, we're going to sing a song, and it's from Wren Collective. It's a lovely song. You might recognize the tune from New Year. It's a New Year tune, but the song is a lovely song because it just says, God, for all that you have done for us, for all that you have done, we're grateful and we're thankful. Help us never forget. Help us to trust you. Help us to walk out of here with you.
My testimony.
Yeah, go for it, Malcolm.
Totally what you've been saying today, and I'd just like to add that God does provide.
Yeah.
My wife and I spent about 11 years in Peru teaching in a missionary school and helping with the Scripture Union, and then we came home to this country. We had a lovely holiday driving through the United States, and perhaps we should have come back a bit earlier, but we arrived on August the 15th. We had, some of you know this, but not all of you do, so that's why I want to share again, because it does underline God's provision. August the 15th, 1975, I had no job to go to, we had no home to go to, the children had no schools to go to, and it was a fortnight before the new term started. We thought we would probably end up spending the first weeks in my parents' home on beds and sofas and the like. We got off the plane, and the first thing my parents said to me was, we found you a home, rent-free. So that seemed a good start. We went there that night, and next day I phoned up Surrey County Council, and they said there was a job coming up in Oxford County School for the end of December. Come for an interview. So I went for an interview. And they said, well, yes, we think we can give you a job. And what they actually did was to double up the job that was going, so that I did half of it and the person leaving in December did the other half. So it was a nice, gentle reintroduction to working in this country. Of course, getting a job in Oxted meant that I could get the kids into school. So that was all done within a fortnight. Coming back in the middle of August, by the time term started, I had a job, a car, but we were living up in Cheam, and we could commute from Cheam. But we wanted to live in Oxted. So the children, one or two of them in the primary school, chatted with other little boys, and one of those boys had a mother living in the road I now live in, and she knew there was a house for sale. And that message came through to us, and so we went to have a look at it. It was for sale. It was only £27,000. But we only had 21. So we said, well, it's just what we need, but sorry, we haven't got enough. Okay, well, we left it. But they phoned back a week later and said, look, we think we've overpriced it. We're offering it for 23,000. So again, I said, well, that's very kind of you, but I've only got 21,000. Okay, they said, you can have it for 20. Have you ever heard of that happening before? There is that little verse in Philippians 4:19 which says, my God will supply all your needs through his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And that's been my experience my whole life, actually, but that was the most perhaps dramatic experience of God meeting our needs. So, praise God.
Amen. Thanks, Malcolm. I like it when you like jump up and say, can I just say, it's really good. Lots more of that, keep it coming. Because that's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? In your lives, where you can say, it's not just in a book, it's true. It works. This is my experience. So feel free to jump up anytime you've got one of that. Yeah, it's really good. I went to college in 1992, left a full-time paying job, and we lived for 4 years on a part-time job that Claudia did at CNA, who no longer exists in the UK. And in the fourth year, we didn't even have that because Sam appeared. It's all your fault, Sam. And I still don't know how we lived for 4 years paying college fees and living in London for 4 years. I still don't know how it worked. I don't know where the money came from. I don't know how it happened because my church was so small it couldn't support us financially. Sent me there, but it couldn't support me. And somehow, God just did it. You just got to trust him, haven't you? Just got to trust him. He is Jehovah Jireh. Shall we sing about that? And let's not forget who he is and what he can do in our lives if we trust him and seek first his kingdom and all the other stuff he'll take care of. Yeah, let's stand.